Hello and welcome to The Laydown, a Gibson's Bookstore podcast. I'm Ryan. My pronouns are she, her.
I'm Kate. My pronouns are she, her as well.
I'm Ashley, also a she, her.
Woohoo!
Yay!
We're back!
Check that off the list.
Remember when we did really, really good at being here every month for 4 months?
Yeah, a little bit.
Hey man, four is almost five. Five is half of 10. Yeah. So we are here all the time by average.
Girl math.
We are word people, not math people.
I don't know. My math's pretty solid.
I'm willing to accept it. My friend Corey was talking up the laydown yesterday, and she was like, oh, you gotta listen, because like Ryan interviews all these amazing guests and she gets all the best people. And I was like, I don't think I've interviewed anyone this year.
But you...
I have two coming up.
Yeah.
But it's been
really good.
Yeah, we've got Brian Asman and Christy DeMeester and, oh, and Rachel Harrison. Oh, that's coming up fast.
Yeah.
I gotta figure out my questions for all of those. Anyway, that's future Ryan's problem.
How right, book?
Why this one? What brain like?
How do you story? That's cool.
Can you hook me up with your agent? Just kidding. I don't have a manuscript.
Would you mind reading this for me? It's my grocery list. Spooky.
So we fully didn't podcast last month.
Oops.
It's fine. You know.
We did our best.
We got busy.
Last month didn't happen.
We got busy, and then we had Neba, and then Kate was cursed by a few things.
Yeah, so I ate a berry in a graveyard that I probably shouldn't have eaten, but I gave a shiny coin to a magpie, but I think maybe it was the wrong denomination of coin, or maybe I was only protected in Scotland because it was on the airplane ride back at the very beginning of the month that it got me. But moral of the story, even if they look so good... Don't eat graveyard blackberries, but guys, they're so good, but it's not worth it. Don't do it. But they're so good.
I mean, honestly, should I ever find myself in a situation where that's an option, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, Reed wouldn't do it.
What a baby.
Exactly.
Lame.
Coming back all uncursed.
Lame indeed.
I got a magpie to take a coin from me.
Rad as
and then I got real sick.
Yeah, you got real sick.
Worth it.
And then you got stung by 22 bees. They were hornets, not bees, but it's more fun to say bees.
It is more fun to say covered in bees.
She was covered in bees.
Oh, I'm still itchy, guys. Don't do that either.
Yeah.
That one I will avoid.
Yeah, that one I will avoid, like, the plague that they are. But we all got to go to NEBA.
Yeah.
The fall conference, and that was fun.
So fun.
Much fun.
I'm glad you guys got to come. Came back with a lot of books. Ashley got to meet Alex E. Harrow.
Oh, what a dream.
Which was great.
Yeah.
I got to do that thing where I'm like, I know people. Let me introduce my coworker to this person I know. And then I get to feel real cool for a little bit.
And then we have since found out that apparently somewhere along the way, Alex E. Harrow has claimed that Gibson's booksellers are the best.
Are the best.
So, true.
Which we know is true.
Even dreamier.
But yeah, lovely to hear that.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
I don't even mind that I didn't get to meet you, whatever. Oh, it's cool. I was there on a different day.
Alex, come to New Hampshire.
Yeah, please.
Again.
Please. Soon. Come hang out with us.
I heard tell that we're the best.
It's true. You know it's true. And then we're about to embark on the New Hampshire Book Fest.
Second annual
Book Fest. Please come to Book Fest. It has taken over my life for the last 3 weeks, and it's still a week away, and there's going to be so many books. come by them.
Yep.
So there's many books. A ziggurat of books.
Come by them and meet the people who wrote them and, yes.
Yeah.
Fest.
See us.
Fest.
Yeah, we'll be there. Mm-hmm. We'll be in the tents saying hi.
I'll be in the store.
Yeah.
Come see me in here.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's gonna be a good time.
I won't be covered in bees.
Probably not.
Hopefully not.
Probably not. It's October 3rd and 4th. The 4th is the day with, like, all the tents and authors and stuff. The 3rd, there's a keynote with Walter Mosley. And then on the 4th, we've got Tui Sutherland for two different things. Love that. Wings of Fire. Heck yeah. My kid just discovered Wings of Fire, and I was like,
oh,
I have such treasures to share with you.
Oh, that's always such a good one to introduce. Oh. Do you like this? Here's a ton more.
Yes. So that's exciting. We're going to have author friends will be there. It's going to be a great time. Just such come hang time. Out. Come it's hang free. Out. The festival is free. The keynotes cost money, but the festival itself is free, and then you can just buy books and meet authors, and it's gonna be great! There's panels. It'll be a good time.
Do it.
Do it!
Do it!
We're gonna not do, like, a big main topic today, because we skipped a whole month, so we're just gonna talk about all the cool stuff we've read since we last talked to you all. Because my guess is it's a decent amount. Based on my own list.
It's not nothing.
It's not nothing. Does anybody have any other announcements up at the top that we should force them to listen to before we get to the good stuff? Sign up for Libra FM.
Sign up for Libra FM.
No, no, we don't do that now. We do that at the end.
I know.
There is
but
a
like,
structure. Ma'am.
But we gotta, but like, they don't always listen to the end. Okay. Come on audiobook. Audiobook walks.
For the spooky one.
Yeah, there's a spooky audiobook walk October 18th at 6 p.m. You can wear a costume, bring a flashlight, bring your headphones, listen to an audiobook. It doesn't have to be spooky, but it can be.
I heard Baphomet might be there.
Oh, Baffy. Baffy might come.
I know him.
Our buddy. We're on a first name basis.
Best friends.
It's true. He's in my house.
I have his hands. I don't have his head.
Mm.
I have his hands in my wall.
I have the head.
Oh, I'm jealous. My husband got scared of the head, so. But I got the hands.
Aww.
He was like, it looks a little too actually demonic. And I was like, but he's a good guy.
He reads to kids. Kids being children and kids being baby goats because he's a goat man.
He's a goat man. I do have a cardboard Stephen King in my house that my dog won't let me put up. She's a very brave girl and must defend me from the evil that is Stephen King, apparently. She's not a fan. She's real mad when I tried to stand him up. She got real scared and just started barking and growling and running away. It was great. What a good girl. She's the best. All right, cool. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, books.
I can start if you want. Cool.
Sure. Do you want a drum roll?
Brrr. All right, beautiful. What have I read since the last time? I read Black Flame by Gretchen Felker Martin, which, listen, if you are looking for really, really... just intense, gory, transgressive things in your horror. You should be reading trans horror, and Gretchen Felker Martin writes really good trans horror, and Black Flame is all that and a cursed film.
Ooh.
Oh boy. I read it one sitting. It was very compelling and very upsetting, and I loved it. She's great. I read Tantrum by Rachel Eve Moulton. And that one is the one that if you look at the cover, it's a stroller with tentacles coming out of it. It's bright orange. It's so good. Listen, give me a maybe demonic kid any day. I will eat that up. This is that. The mom is like, there's something deeply wrong with my child. Everyone else is like, she's so cute and fine. What are you talking about? She's like, she ate the head of a chicken alive.
As one does.
Chicken, she ripped its head off, and no one else is worried about this. And they're she's so precocious and cute.
Hey,
she's
if we're going to eat animals, we should eat the whole thing.
Exactly. It's great. It's what a fun ride. There's a quirky neighbor who features in, and it's just delightful. What a fun book. That's Tantrum by Rachel Eve Moulton. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it. Girl in the Creek by Wendy N. Wagner is more Sporer. We love Sporer. Tis the season for the mushroom horror.
Dampness.
So damp. So damp and slimy. There's true crime in this, like, little small town drama. The main character has a brother who went missing, like, 5 years ago, and she's like, dang it, I'm gonna find him. And she goes into the woods, and she first finds a girl in a creek. And she's like, oh no, a body, oh dear. And then weird things start happening.
Weirder things.
Weirder things. And it is way darker than she could have imagined, and it's, wow, what a time. What a time.
Adventure.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, so Girl on the Creek, if you're looking for some damp Sporer and, like, a little bit of true crime, that's not actually true crime, but true crime vibes, there you go. I read The Dead Husband Cookbook by Danielle Valentine, which I did expect to lean more horror than it actually did. It's like, I described it on my story graph as a murder mystery for people who only read litfic.
Ah.
And so, all right, so you've got this famous chef who has a famous dead husband. So her husband was also famous, and then he died, and that in itself made her even more famous because people are like, maybe she cooked and ate him. And so she...
What a normal conclusion to jump
to. What a normal conclusion.
People are normal all the time.
So she decides to publish a memoir, and she seeks out this one editor, and she was like, I will only work with this one editor. And the editor's like, huh, okay, what? This is a dream come true. Like, you're my idol. I, like, grew up watching your cooking show. But, like, okay. And so she's like, great. You're going to edit my memoir. You have to come live at my house while I write it. And I'm only going to give you one chapter at a time. And we're going to edit as we go. And that's it. And also, there's no internet, no cell phone, like, nothing. Because
totally normal.
I don't want you to spill my secrets.
Mm.
And she's like, okay. And so the editor's like, sure. She basically needs to redeem her career because she kind of messed up a thing and is in a little bit of hot water. She maybe published a memoir that was not true.
Oops.
Uh-oh. It happens. And so she needs to redeem herself. And so she agrees, and she goes to this famous lady's house, and as she is reading the memoir one chapter at a time, like, it's really well written, and it's really, like, it, like, dives deep into her relationship with her husband and all this stuff, and she's like, this is so good, I'm not sure this is true. And so she starts to investigate, and she discovers some much more sinister things, and it is really good. It's really well written. I listened to the audiobook, and I was like, I could listen to 8 more hours of this. Like, this is really, really well done.
Were there any recipes?
That was my question!
Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah, yes. It is. So each
How
chapter...
How to serve man?
Yeah. So each chapter of the memoir, it's a memoir and cookbook combined. Ooh. And so she'll tell a story from her life, and then she will have the recipe of a dish that she is, like, referring to in the story. And she'll name it, you know, something kind of cheeky that relates to the story she just told. And they are real recipes, which I was like, that's I'm fun. Not a cook, but these sound good.
not a cook, but if I had a husband to dispose of...
I maybe I would use one of these. So that is called The Dead Husband Cookbook. It's by Daniel Valentine. And yeah, I recommend it. Even if you're not into, like, the horror scene, like I said, it has more of a lit fic bend to it. So recommend. I also read Psycho. Like, just the OG Psycho.
Yeah!
By Robert Bloch. It's great. It's Psycho. It just is. It's, yeah.
It does the thing.
It does all the things. It's really fun to read it knowing what's going to happen. The foreshadowing is so delicious. Because you can see where, like, if you didn't know the twist, it would be surprising. Like, it would be a shocking twist as... You know, I'm sure it was for everyone who watched it for the first time. I was way too young, so I don't remember my reaction to Psycho. I was a small child. But it is really, really fun to, like, catch the little foreshadowings and be like, ooh, I know what's happening. Ah! It was fun. It was a fun time. It was a fun read. Oh my god, I finally read Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow.
Ooh.
Yay. By Gabrielle Zevin. I don't know what took me so long, because I've read another one of her books and loved it so much. And then I just, like, kept putting off reading this one, and I don't know why. And then I started it, and I was like, wait, this is a video game book? I think maybe I knew that and forgot. And it was so beautiful and so lovely and just, you know, it takes video games as a metaphor, but also it's, like, you know, a major part of the book. It is the whole thing. It's video game designers, but they're, like, in love, sort of, and they keep missing each other, and there's all these different, like, paths and, like, does the path you took, does it matter? Would you end up at the same place no matter which path you took? Aww. And it's so good. It's so good. Everything's connected. It's just beautiful. If you haven't read it, you should read it. It's real good. I got to read a bound manuscript. Oh. Of Wolfworm by T. Kingfisher.
Ooh.
Which doesn't come out until next March.
Oh, so funny.
It's Parasite horror.
Ooh.
It's gross. It's, I forget.
Still one to Spread Me.
Yeah.
Which is out now.
Which is out now.
Yes.
Spread Me is finally
spread
out.
Me.
So this one, I forget what, like, year it's set in, but it's definitely, like, the 1800s, and the main character, she's a scientific illustrator, and so her, like, preference is flowers, but she gets hired to do insect illustrations for this guy who's working on kind of like an encyclopedia of insects. So she goes and, like, lives at this house, and, he's real, like, kind of weird and standoffish, but, like, the people who work at the house are like, yeah, that's just him, like, whatever. She knows that his previous illustrator, like, either left or disappeared or died. She knows something happened. She's not sure exactly what happened, and she thinks that it was maybe his wife. And she starts working on these illustrations, and one of them is called a wolf worm, and it's this weird little parasite that will kind of, like, pilot an animal and, like, make it do things. She wakes up one night and there's a raccoon desperately trying to get into her room.
Oh, little buddy.
Oh. And boy, oh boy, does he do everything in his power to get into her room. And she finds its body the next morning, and sure enough, it had one of these parasites.
Being used as a mech suit?
It was being used as a mech suit.
Oh.
And that's just the beginning.
Oh, no.
There are blood thieves, maybe. There's some murder, maybe. There's something in the woods. There's some weird folks who keep talking about the devil. It is great. I had such a time reading this book. Oh, it's disgusting and delightful, and there's a mystery, and yeah, it's a great time. That is Wolfworm. It's by T. Kingfisher, and it comes out March 24th, 2026. It's available for pre-order. It's on our website. You can pre-order it, and you should,
because
it's real good. A few more that I have. I finally read... It just came out. Breathe In, Bleed Out.
Yes!
Oh, Brian McCauley, what a guy. What a guy. He's a delight. This is a slasher at a spa. And I know Kate also read and loved it.
Oh, it's great. It was a one-day read.
Yes!
Axe murder wellness retreat. It's great. Oh,
it is such a love letter to really all slashers, but especially Scream. So many fun twists. So bloody.
Really gross.
Oh, the kills are excellent. Oh, the various reveals, because of course there's multiple reveals, are all great. It's just, it's so good, and I can't stop throwing it at people. And it helps that I have met Brian McCauley a couple of times now, and he's just an absolute delight. He's just such a good dude. Yeah. Breathe In, Bleed Out. Do it. Do it.
Do it.
Do it. I read House of Idol by Delilah S. Dawson, who will be here in October along she'll be on the panel with Clay McLeod Chapman and CJ Lead.
Woo!
Oh my god. And this is, like, rock star horror. The main character is a singer who's, just quit her barista job because, you know, it was a terrible job and customers were yelling at her and she retaliated and quit slash got fired. And, she's...
Can't fire me, I quit.
Basically. And she's out on the... outside of the cafe busking immediately after this incident, and this like limo pulls up. They're like, get in. And she's like, okay, what have I got to lose at this point? And she finds herself at this commune run by her favorite band, like, of all time, Black Idol. White Idol? Black Idol. Black Idol. And, they're like, we have all this money. We're, like, basically billionaires. So we created this place where we select artists to come and just, like, work on their craft. And we provide meals, housing, clothing, equipment, like, whatever you could possibly need. We have it here. You can stay for as long as you want. And, yeah, it's just, like, freedom to work on your thing. And she's like, dope. That's awesome. Is it a cult? And they're like, no, it's not a cult. And she's like, sweet. Sounds great. And things go swimmingly from there.
They always do.
So, that's House of Idol. Delilah S. Dawson sent us a couple of guitar picks to go with it. Nice. And some backstage pass ribbons.
Yes!
Oh, what a delight. My husband is reading it right now, and he just keeps being like, I keep forgetting this is a horror novel because it honestly just sounds great. I kind of want to go to this commune. And I'm like, I know, right?
Uh-oh.
It sounds perfect. The whole way through.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing bad happens. It's great for everyone. And then finally, I literally this morning finished Girl Dinner by Olivia Blake.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, God forbid a girl has hobbies. It's fine. It's maybe a cannibalistic sorority. Who cares?
Sounds awesome.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
You're gonna kill it, you gotta eat it.
You gotta use the whole body. And, like, I'm just saying, like, they say that blood is really good for your skin and stuff. So, you know. But it's great, because it's also a really great commentary on, like, feminism and, like, the trad wife culture that's happening right now on social media, and, like, just it's dark and awesome. And I keep forgetting how much I like Olivia Blake, and also in my head I absolutely mesh her with Olivia Rodrigo.
Ooh.
Every time. And so I'm always surprised when I start reading an Olivia Blake book and I'm like, wow, this is so good. I'm like shocked. And then I'm like, right. It's not the tiny teenager Olivia Rodrigo. It's the grown adult writer Olivia Blake. Those are different people. And I have to remind myself every time. But it's real good, and you should read Girl Dinner and just have fun with it, because I like it a lot.
Nice.
And that's what I've read.
Speaking of God forbid a girl has hobbies, I finally got to read Zenobie Purvis's Hounding. Since 1700, the river's drying up because it's summer. There are some girls who are kind of weird, and this drunk guy can't keep his drunk self to himself and start drunk some girls. Rumors.
Uh-oh.
So don't let men near girls for any reason.
Never.
Because he's going to tell everybody they're dogs, and then stuff's going to happen.
Oh, my
but
God.
It's great.
Oh, my God.
That's The Hounding by Zenobie Purvis.
Oh, my God.
Let's see here. I accidentally read a bunch of religious stuff because I tend to do this to myself. I do it in, like, little chunks. So there's Kate Sidley's How to Be a Saint, which is nonfiction, you know, shelved sure. in humor about what makes a saint and how to do it and whatnot. And it's a really good explainer for when you're going on about all your Catholic trauma nonsense to your friends who have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, nice.
I had to give this to my husband and be like, this is how I grew up. So yeah, How to Be a Saint, a good time had by all. Speaking of saints, we go to Josephine Rowe's Little World, which is a novella of three even smaller stories, all loosely tied together by the body of a supposed child saint.
Oh.
Yes. It sounds really dark just in that sort of phrase, but it's lovely. It's beautiful. It's one of those books that it takes you a couple days to get over again. Aww. Once you're done with it. Like, you just kind of live in it for a little bit. So that's Little World by Josephine Rowe. And then tying up my Adventures in Christianity, there's Kate Riley's Ruth. I learned recently that what I like more than anything is just to be able to peek in on a world that I know absolutely nothing about and have no business being there. And this covers pretty much birth to maybe her late 50s, early 60s, of a woman born in an intentional Christian commune in the United States in the 60s, and they are full communists.
Okay.
And they are deeply tied to Calvinists and people coming over from the old country, and it's just this, what it's like to be this woman. You're entirely in her head. Huh. And it's fascinating and wonderful and really sweet and really funny. She's very funny. I liked the time that I spent with Ruth.
Nice.
Oh no, that doesn't tie up my Christian stuff. There's another
wait, there's
one.
More.
Oh God. So the Book of E, which is the letter I, it's pronounced E. The Book of E by David Grieg is another little novella, and he's a big theater guy, and this is his first book, and it's about real events on a real island off the coast of Scotland that had a tiny monastery that was overrun by Viking invaders in the 800s?
Oh.
800s AD? It's either 800s or 10s. It's
wow.
There's...
Give or take a couple hundred.
Yeah, the monastery had been there for a while before the Vikings show up and whatnot.
Sure.
And it's like nicked, but older. It's really funny. If you can't laugh at a Viking describing with glee the way that he tosses children into the air and catches him on his sword, then I really can't help you. So that leaves Christianity, the Book of E, and takes me over to A Game in Yellow by Hayley Piper, which is messed up. Some lesbians will go way too far with cursed plays and literally life-altering sex games instead of just going to therapy. Go to therapy, you guys! Go to therapy! I mean, write books like this, A Game in Yellow by Hayley Piper, but oh god, don't engage in what these people engage in. The whole time you're just going, no, 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 no. Oh god, yes! No, 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 no! It's wonderful.
Oh my god.
That brings me to Memorials by Richard Chismar.
Oh, yeah.
It's combination Appalachian folk horror meets a college road trip.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kids in the 80s doing a project on roadside memorials for, like, car crashes and things. And they wind up... It goes way deeper than just this class that they thought they were taking. They have personal ties to it. It's going to make you deeply afraid of being in the woods for any reason.
Nice.
It's a good old barn burner of a book. And then right now, I'm reading Stone and Sky by Ben Aronovich. It's Rivers of London number 10, which, if you are looking for that grown-up Harry Potter vibe with no turfy stuff, jump on over to Stone and Sky. Well, start with Rivers of London, but it's delightful. Magic wizard police, ancient god, sentient buildings, cursed puppets.
What more could you ask for?
It's a good time. Wizards fighting Nazis. Good stuff.
Yes.
Good stuff all the way around. And on a totally different page, I'm also reading the new Patricia Lockwood book, Will There Ever Be Another You? Which is, it's fiction, but it's very tightly wrapped around her experience with long COVID.
Oh,
so it is a fever dream. You are reading a fevered brain.
Wow.
And it feels a lot like how I felt immediately post brain injury. Mm-hmm. So it's really fascinating. So check all those things out.
Heck yeah. Thank you, Kate.
Yay.
One
would think that I would have used all of this time to have myself ready to go. To which I would say, you do not know me at all.
You were just listening so hard.
I was. I need to know what to read.
It's true.
Okay. We'll figure this out as we go. So when we recorded last, 100 years ago, I was, good work. I was in the middle of Eric Larson's The Demon of Unrest, which I did eventually finish. I think it took, like, 2 weeks. But it is, like, what led to the firing on Fort Sumter and ultimately the Civil War. And I had never read an Eric Larson book, even though my mom kept telling me that they were really, really good. But I'm a huge Civil War nerd, and so when this one came out, I was like, all right, well, now I have to.
Gateway.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think, like, maybe a quarter of the way in, I had, like, texted her. I was like, is he always this sassy? Can I borrow your collection?
Amazing.
Yeah, so I read it for my... narrative nonfiction lay down challenge reading challenge prompt, and it's I don't know how you get like 500 or whatever pages out of like the time frame that he focused on, but he did it and it was never boring.
Amazing.
So even it's gonna hit better if you are super into the Civil War, but even if you're not, it's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
From there. I have been spending a lot of time trying to get this reading challenge complete.
I love that.
And so I went from very grown up, very serious stuff to Einstein the Penguin.
Okay.
Which was for my middle grade book.
Amazing.
And it is the cutest.
Oh.
I bought it because my best friend, who just had a baby, well, not just, she's almost a year old. It's insane.
Ridiculous.
Time is the worst. anywho, Nicole and I are obsessed with penguins, and so I was like, oh, well, I just keep buying this baby lots of books, and someday she's gonna need big kid books, and so I'll start collecting those now, too, starting with this one, because penguins. And it's super cute. It's, sort of Paddington-esque, aww, but a penguin.
Penguington! That was harder to say than I thought it would be.
You nailed it. The girl and her family are at a zoo, and they really like the penguins, and they get home that night, and there's a knock on the door, and it's a penguin.
Oh, that's the dream!
Yeah, it sure is. I really, really wish that this would happen to me. But it turns out it wasn't even a penguin from the zoo. And he needs the little girl's help to solve a little penguin mystery.
Oh, my gosh.
Adventures ensue, and it is wonderful. And that one was by Iona Rangeley.
Incredible.
It's a little series. I'm not sure how many books there are so far, but that is the first one, and it was incredible. From there, I went to, I got really excited when Elise Myers posted,
yes,
on Instagram that she had a book coming out, and hounded anybody who in the store who would listen to me about getting an ARC immediately. It did eventually come, and I devoured it in like 2 days. If you don't follow Elise Myers on the internet, what's wrong with you?
You should. She's lovely.
Pause this, go find her and follow and like watch a couple of her biggest hits, and then you can come back. And I will tell you that her upcoming it's essays, but it's memoir-ish. Like, it's her life. And it's a lot of stuff that you haven't necessarily heard about in any of her super viral stuff online. It's called That's a Great Question I'd Love to Tell You, which, obviously.
Her catchphrase.
Yeah. It's incredible. She's just the funniest, and you, as you're reading it, you are hearing it in her voice, in your head, and it's just perfect. Aww. She's everybody's best friend.
I have to go be Val. Okay. Bye, Kate. Bye, Kate.
Then I went on to The Dead Romantics, Ryan. Again, for the reading challenge, I needed an author that I share a first name with. And Ryan's like, ooh, Ashley Poston, Dead Romantics. And I read the back, and it sounded not awful. I am not a romance reader. Ew, gross. but this one, there's, like, some ghosts and stuff, and I like that. So I was like, okay, sure. It's just, I'm not a romance girl. It's not my jam. They were real cute dum-dums. There's an alive girl and a dead question mark boy. And, it's fun, it's light, it goes fast. So even if you don't love it, you're done with it quick.
I got many a stern look upon coming into the store while Ashley was reading this.
And so there's like a dead dad storyline, and every time I gave said dirty look, Ryan's like, I'm sorry, I forgot there was dead dad stuff. I was like, it's not even that. That's all fine. The rest of it, bleh.
I was like, I'm sorry!
It's fine. It's a really fun cover, though.
It so, is.
Like,
and Ashley Poston is so cute and funny and, like,
I would definitely hang out with her. Like, yeah. The writing was fun.
It's... Yeah, she's great. I like the book a lot, okay? It's a fun book.
In between that and then another one that was Orion, not so much a recommendation, but inspired, that I also did not love, was Robert McFarlane's Is a River Alive? And if you've never read any of his nature writing, like, just do yourself a favor and go pick up literally any of it. But this one, it came out earlier this year, sometime in the spring, and it is, like, he wanted to, in his little hometown, there's, like, a spring or a brook or something that he, like, goes to with his kids, and, like, it starts drying up, because we're killing the world, obviously, and he starts to ponder, like, are waterways, should they be considered living things? And, like, in, turns out in, like, some South American countries and, like, elsewhere in the world, like, governments are starting to pass, like, nature rights acts, which is incredible. And so it then follows him, on, like, three specific expeditions to, like, these different places where, like, the waterways are so far gone that, like, maybe they can't be saved, and, like, one that's, like, still kind of thriving, but, like, we gotta make sure it stays that way. And just, it, I like to, like, highlight and underline beautiful quotes and stuff, and it's just, this is one of those things that, like, basically every word is gorgeous. I was like, I give up, like, I can't underline everything. And then the next one, Raised by a Serial Killer, which Ryan had talked about last time.
Oh, yeah.
And my mom was listening and texted me and was like, have you read this? I was like, no. She's like, it sounds really good. So she ordered it. And then I needed a true crime for the reading challenge. So I was like, I'm going to read it first before I send it home for you. That was the first book that I almost DNF'd.
Yeah.
Which
it's rough.
Erin really encouraged. She's very pro don't finish books that aren't bringing you joy. And I am very stubborn and did get through it. It's a lot of trauma dumping for the first, like, 200 pages. And at a certain point, you're just like, I don't need to know any more of these awful details about your childhood. This is so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And then eventually it does sort of switch over to when she started piecing together, like, hey, wait a second, I think my dad killed a bunch of people. And, like, solves all these cases, sort of. Mm. I hesitantly recommend.
Yeah. It is, like, a very interesting, like,
it's
perspective.
A wild time. Yeah.
But yeah, it is. Woof, all the trigger warnings. This dude was bad.
Bad. The one little spoiler. The part that I was, like, reading one day on my lunch break and, like, came back and I was like, I think I might DNF this book. The dad, I forget how old she was at the time, like 10 or something maybe.
Yeah, she was young.
And he was mad at her for something, as he usually was, and, like, grabbed her kitten and threw it across the room.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm out.
Yep.
So, that's the sort of thing you're getting yourself into with that one. But,
You know, like, sometimes there will be, like, a serial killer, and people who knew him are like, you would never have known. He was such a good guy. Like, I'm shocked.
He was not that guy.
This is not. It was, like, not a shock that he was a serial killer.
No,
like,
made perfect sense.
A bad dude.
Tracked totally, very on brand. But then I did some really, really fun ones.
Yay!
To cheer myself back up after that, I pivoted real hard to some Douglas Adams, Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, which I had not knowing that this was a trilogy-ish.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 2.5 G, because he died before the third one could get finished or published, and someone else, whatever. I'm sure it's still wonderful. I haven't gotten to it yet, but this is a very long way of saying I accidentally read the second one a few years ago. not knowing that I was reading anything out of order, because my husband had, like, found it in a little free library while he's walking the dogs and was like, oh, Ashley loves Doug, I'm gonna bring this home. And it was incredible, and then I found out that there was one before it, so I finally got around to reading that, and it did not disappoint. It was so funny. It made me so mad at StoryGraph, because I tried to rate it 5.75. And StoryGraph said, no, you can't do that. I was like, but it deserves it.
Oh, man.
It's just this weird detective guy, sort of. I don't even think you meet him until, like, 100 pages in. it's just, like, a lot of shenanigans. Involving a ghost, and then also some other ghosts, maybe, and a robot monk.
Incredible.
Who rides a horse and does some, like, time travel. And it also brought me my new favorite quote from a book ever. once you do finally meet Dirk Gently, and he's trying to help out one of the other main characters, they're about to embark on some mystery solving. And Dirk says, come, let us go. Let us leave this festering hellhole. Let us think the unthinkable. Let us do the undoable. Let us prepare to grapple with the ineffable itself and see if we may not eff it after all. And I have spent the last however long it's been since I finished that trying to figure out how to make that one of my future tattoos.
Incredible.
Yep. So that one was a big win. Definitely recommend that. No hesitation at all. And then from there, New Mary Roach!
New Mary Roach! New Mary Roach!
Oh, what a dream. I love everything this woman does. She is amazing. I want to adopt her as some sort of family member. I don't even care what kind. Just please, Mary, be in my life. This one is called Replaceable You. And I was trying really hard to finish it last Sunday while I was working. And I don't keep the dust jackets on my books while I'm reading them, because I don't want to mess them up, like, in and out of my bag and whatever. So to customers who may have saw me, I was just reading what one of them described as a naked book. And she's like, what is that? And I was like, oh, it's the new Mary Roach. It's about bodies and the weird things we can do to them now because of science. Which I stand by. That's like,
that's exactly
what it is.
That is what it is.
And it's just super weird. And I want her life in addition to just having her be in mine, because she will just, like, find this random bit of a topic and, like, deep dive the fuck out of
it. Incredible.
And just go down all the rabbit holes and find out everything there is to know, and, like, just finds all the weirdest details and then makes everything so funny. As always, she is the queen of the footnote. There's, like, it probably averages out to, like, a footnote every other page. And they're always so funny. One of my favorites alluded to something that she was calling blood bank glory holes.
Oh, no.
Where back before we had the technology to, like, donate blood and store it for a while before it needed to go to someone, it would just be like, oh, you need blood, and this person has blood, so we're gonna, like, connect you. But put up this divider so you don't have to see each other. Oh, I don't know what else you would call it other than a blood bank glory hole.
Yeah. No, that's, yeah.
And then just another really fun, I had, like, posted that one in a story because it made me laugh real hard while I was trying to eat lunch one day. And I called her the queen of the footnote. And then it just, every single one from there got funnier and funnier. Another one of my favorites, I will read the whole thing to you, but she was at this, like, charity event. It was like a 5K for colostomy patients.
Okay.
And so it's, like, actual patients and then people who don't have colostomy bags, but, like, they get one to just, like, hang on themselves so that they can feel what it's like.
Oh my god.
And so, like, the organizer had been like, here's your bag, and she apparently didn't realize that she was supposed to fill it with something. And she's like, this wasn't even that bad, blah, blah, blah. And then the footnote is, writing this now months later, I see that I overlooked the bit in Ed's original email to me, which reads, quote, filled with the fluid of your choice. My empathy bag was empty. They call them empathy bags. I've since co-opted the phrase for use in dealing with emotionally clueless people. Yeah, his empathy bag is pretty much empty.
Beautiful.
So she's just perfect in every way. She's and the best. If you haven't read any of her books, you can start with this one. It's a great choice, but you can start with any of them and it will not be the wrong choice.
Correct. All of them are perfect.
And then finally, my current read. We need to wrap this up so I can go home and just devour the rest of it. Alex E. Harrow's upcoming The Everlasting Lady Knights.
Lady
Time
Knights.
Travel.
Lady Knights.
Aesthetically sexy, nerdy scholars. It has everything you want and more, and the part that I was reading this morning was starting to get a little tense, and I really just want to go home and see what happens.
I can't wait.
You should start reading it also
I
right now.
Will. I was cleaning off my desk yesterday, and found one of my, I have like three copies of it, of the ARC.
That's not enough copies.
I know. But I found one of them on my desk and I was like, oh yeah, I should read this.
Yeah, you should.
I should read this like now. So I do think that will be, I am currently reading, a PDF of a manuscript that Dennis Mahoney sent me. He wrote,
we love him.
We love him. He wrote Our Winter Monster, and he was here for an event last year, and he was so fun. What a guy. And his next one is a demon book.
Ooh.
And so he sent it to me, and he was like, will you read this? And I was like, yes!
Yes, I sure will.
But because it's a PDF, I can only read it on, like, one thing, because it won't save my progress. So I've been reading it on my laptop, but I think I'm going to switch it to my iPad so that I can be reading it in more places, because it is so good, and I'm loving it right now. So that is my main current read. Obviously, I'm reading, like, 1,000 other things, too, but that is, like, the main one that I'm trying to focus. It's called Dear Demon. Just loving it. So, yeah. Oh, books!
Yay, books!
Yay, books!
There's so many!
There's just so many, and there's new ones every week. And we're, like, a year ahead of the rest of you, and it's really hard to be like, hey, pre-order this, please.
You won't be disappointed.
But yeah, we trust us. If we say to pre-order something, just do it.
Just do it. Don't ask questions.
Just do it. Mm-hmm. And come to the New Hampshire Book Fest.
Yep, definitely do that.
Next weekend. Oh boy.
Wild.
And come to all of our events, and please register for my virtual event/podcast recording with Brian Asman. I will put the link in the show notes. Even if you don't think you can make it, just register so that the publicist is happy. Please.
We need to keep the publicist happy.
Please, because I would like to have him come to the store in person someday. That can only happen if we get, like, good things from this virtual event. So please, thank you. That'd be great. It's free. It's free to register. Or you can order his book. It's the updated anthology version of Man, Fuck This House. So it has that short story in it, plus a couple others. And he's delightful. He's very funny. His books are great. So you should order that from us and register for the virtual event. It's on October 8th at like 7:30. You should do it.
Do it.
And then it will go up in the podcast feed. So even if you miss it, you'll still get to hear it. So.
or you'll get to listen to it again.
Again. And then next month we'll do some sort of spooktacular episode. We'll bring our buddy Sam back to talk about horror stuff with us.
Yeah, and spooky books.
It'll be great. And if you want, like, spooky recs right now, I mean, like, obviously come talk to me, but, I did, a little Jack of All Graves, guest appearance yesterday, and did a whole bunch of spooky season recommendations, and that is available. I will link it. It's on YouTube. You can look at my spooky background, which is my basement.
With or without Uncle Steven?
Uncle Steven's not in it because Fenway was around. But you can see, I think, Mulder and Globert, maybe, in the background.
Excellent.
Those are two of my skeletons. And you can definitely see my pumpkin jack-o'-lantern street lamp. That I just have in my basement.
Well, because why wouldn't you?
Because why wouldn't you?
No, why wouldn't you?
Exactly. Obviously. I would have put it outside, but it has to be plugged in, which is dumb.
Lame.
So, anyway. So, yeah. All right. And obviously, sign up for Libra FM if you haven't yet. You can use the code LAYDOWN when you sign up for new membership and get an extra free audiobook credit. Do it.
Do it.
Do it. And join us on our audiobook walks. They're so much fun. Sometimes there's dogs.
Bring your dog.
Bring your dog and join us. And the next one will be a spooky one at night. So do that. It's October 18th.
Maybe don't bring your dog to that one if they're like Fenway.
Well, yeah, Fenway has anxiety, so, like, maybe don't bring your Fenways. But, like, if you have a chill dog,
yeah,
do that. And, like, wear a costume if you want. I'll probably be in a costume.
Do it.
And then you can email us if you want about the podcast or anything. You could just say hi.
We love when you say hi.
We love when you say hi. And we're over at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. For a shoppable list of all the books we've discussed during this episode, you can click the link in our show notes or go to go to gibsonsbookstore.com/laydown-books. I was gonna say go to laydown.com, and that's just not us.
That's probably not books at all.
Don't do that. Not us. I also do want to say someone did email us and they had a really, really cool idea. So we're going to think about this and maybe do either like an in-person thing or a bonus episode. Someone emailed us and wanted us to go more in depth about what to do when your favorite author is problematic.
Oh,
and to like really go in depth about like, do you just stop reading everything they've written? Do you stop buying? Do you get rid of the books? What if, do you keep reading them but only get used copy? Like, what do you do? And like, how do you kind of tackle that?
That is a good
idea. On a personal level.
Yeah.
And so this person suggested maybe doing like an in-store chat. Ooh. About this, and like we just kind of sit down and I'll talk about it and like it. Have like a little bookseller therapy session.
Yes.
So we're gonna discuss that a little bit further and stay tuned. We're gonna figure something out because I think that is a really worthwhile topic to really dive in on, and we haven't done a deep dive on that for a few years. And things have just gotten worse.
Everyone's awful.
Turns out lots and lots of people are terrible. So anyway, so that may be a thing that we do. So stay tuned.
Yeah.
Obviously follow us on social media. Just search for Gibson's Bookstore. We're everywhere. We also have a Laydown Instagram that I post to like once a month when we have a new episode. So you can follow that one and also follow Gibson's, because that's where the good stuff happens. All of that will be in the show notes. Make sure you're subscribed so you know when we put up an episode, because obviously it is not regular. So please subscribe.
Regularity is a construct.
Yep. So thank you all so much for listening. Consider leaving us a nice review. That would be cool of you. And until next time, we'll see you in the bookstore. Bye-bye! Bye!